Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 264 in the series. This session of the radio show shares the Franklin Mass Board of Health regular monthly meeting as scheduled for Wednesday, May 6, 2020. The meeting was conducted via virtual conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Each speaker is identified before they speak during the meeting so you can follow along. The show notes provide links to the agenda in my notes taken via Twitter during the meeting. The recording runs about 30 minutes, so let's listen to the Board of Health meeting held May 6.
Are we ready?
Ready.
Okay. I'm ready.
Hey, Cal, can you give me a pencil, please, like you said? Where?
He said he was talking to me.
I don't see him.
I'm like, Jeff, I can't.
All right. So because we have a remote meeting, I'm going to just confirm member access as a preliminary matter. This is Bridget Sweet. Permit me to confirm that all members and persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Members, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Vice Chair Tom Cochran?
Here.
And member Jeff Harris?
Here.
Staff, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Director of Public Health Kathleen Liberty?
Here.
And Health Agent Ginny McNeil?
Here.
Thank you. All right, so as a formality, we're going to go ahead and do the introduction to the remote meeting. Good evening. This is an open meeting of the Franklin Board of Health. It's being conducted remotely, consistent with Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020, due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth from the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. In order to mitigate this transmission of COVID-19, we have been advised and directed by the Commonwealth to suspend public gatherings, and as such, the Governor's order suspends the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. Further, all members of the public bodies are allowed and encouraged to participate remotely. The order, which you can find posted within the agenda materials for this meeting, allows public bodies to meet entirely remotely, so as long as reasonable public access is afforded, so the public can follow along with the deliberations of this meeting. Sorry. Ensuring public access does not ensure public participation unless such participation is required by law. This meeting will allow public comment to the extent permissible. For this meeting, the Franklin Board of Health is convening by telephone video application, known as Zoom, as posted on the town's website identifying how the public may join. For these Zoom meetings, please note that this meeting is being recorded and that some attendees are participating by video conference. Accordingly, please be aware that other folks may be able to see you and take care not to screen share your computer. Anything you broadcast may be captured by this recording. As far as meeting materials, all supporting materials that have been provided to members of this body are available on the town's website unless otherwise noted. The public is encouraged to follow along using the posted agenda unless noted otherwise. Meeting business ground rules. We're going to go ahead and turn to the first item on the agenda. Before we do so, permit me to cover some ground rules for effective and clear conduct of our business. I, the chair, will introduce each speaker on the agenda. After they conclude, I will go down the line of members, inviting each name to provide any comment, question, or motion. Please hold until your name is called. Furthermore, please remember to mute your phone or computer when you're not speaking. And please remember to speak clearly and in a way that helps generate accurate minutes. I should follow that advice too. For any response, please wait until the chair yields the floor to you and state your name before speaking. If members wish to engage in colloquy with other members, please do so through the chair, taking care to identify yourself. As far as public comment, after members have spoken, the chair will afford public comment as follows. We will ask members to identify their names and addresses only. And once we have a list of public commentators, I will call on each name and afford 3 minutes for any comments. And any vote taken this evening must be conducted by roll call vote. Well, that was a mouthful. So we'll go ahead and go right into the agenda. So I'm going to turn it to Kathleen and ask for an update. Kathleen?
You want an update before we do the minutes, Bridget?
Yeah, let's do the minutes last because nobody, I'm sure people aren't totally interested in the minutes. So if people are dialing in, we can do the minutes last.
Sure. All right, so an update on the agenda items?
Yeah, we can go ahead and speak to... if you want to give us, so we're going to revisit the face covering order as far as new business. Okay. From my perspective, I think it's sort of a moot point. So we scheduled this meeting prior to Governor Baker creating the statewide advisory or mandate. So do you want to provide any additional information to the board at large and the public on that?
I do. Actually, Tonight we have Thomas Lynch, our police chief. He's with us this evening to talk about the enforcement of the new order. And also, he had sent me a document that I had sent all of you. I'm not sure if you read it or not, but he has a great resource. So I would just like to introduce, we call him TJ, which everyone knows. So TJ, you're here, right?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So you and I have been talking a lot about enforcement, but I think it would be, even though our new regulation is kind of a moot point because of the new order that went into effect today, I still think it would be good for the board members to have a good understanding of how we work together and how the police enforces the face covering order.
Sure. So, I mean, the governor's placed, you know, as you all know, several orders, you know, due to the pandemic, and all of the orders that have to do with health and the pandemic itself are, the enforcement mechanism is through the local Board of Health. And we, as a municipal police department, support the Board of Health as basically agents of the Board of Health. It's kind of similar to the town council, typically is the licensing authority for, you know, any kind of alcoholic beverage licenses. They don't do the enforcement. We're the agents of the town council, so we enforce those regulations. Kathleen's emailed or called on several occasions with some complaints that might have came from the public that it would be easier for us to look into than it would be for her. We're more than happy to help. So we've gone down to those restaurants or other businesses in which there's been a complaint, and so far it's worked out real well that through our investigations, usually we find out that the complaint is misinformed, such as, you know, employees eating at an establishment, like a restaurant, near the end of their shift, but people thought that they were actually serving customers, and they weren't customers, they were employees. So it's worked out pretty well. The face mask order that just recently came out and went into effect at 12 midnight last night, on the 6th, basically, you know, we knew that that would be something that we're definitely going to get some phone calls on. We're either going to get phone calls coming into our 911 dispatch center over in Norfolk through the Metacomet Emergency Communication Center, pertaining to either citizens complaining that other citizens are not being masked, or, you know, businesses that may elect to not allow customers to come into their business if they're not wearing a face mask. So I wanted to make sure that our, you know, my employees, my police officers, not only knew what the order entailed, but what the enforcement mechanism would be and what they can do. So first and foremost, with any of these orders that have come from the governor, it's all about education, education, education. As a police department, we're always looking for, and especially in this instance, to achieve voluntary compliance. So most people, it's going to be simply that they either forgot the mask, it was in a different, I mean, just the, you know, the other day, I'd normally been wearing it myself, but my daughter took the mask out of my truck, used it for something, and then when I'm driving along and I'm going to go into a store, the mask is not where it's supposed to be, so I have to turn around, go home, and grab it. And that is even before the order actually came out from the governor statewide. I was on my way to Bellingham, and Bellingham's Board of Health had basically done one on their own, which, by the way, the order from the governor now supersedes any other, you know, Board of Health orders that have been established before Wednesday the 6th. And then if, you know, and in the chance that we can't get that voluntary compliance, then there is the mechanism of issuing a $300 civil citation, which we currently use for violations of, you know, certain other violations that come up, a civil disposition violation, as we call it. And hopefully we won't have to do that. And then at the last resort, there are certain other, you know, things that can ramps up to something even more. It could be disorderly, or if an individual is not allowed into a business and they refuse to leave, they could potentially end up being charged with trespassing. We're hoping that's not going to come up. We're hoping that voluntary compliance will be the thing that most people will end up doing. And I think, you know, probably 99 out of 100 or 999 out of 1,000 will do that. But we're here in the event that you need us and we need to investigate something. But the face mask order is going to be everywhere. so I wanted to make sure that our people were all set up, and I felt it was good to make sure that Kathleen knew exactly what we were going to do and to share with the Board of Health, so that everybody, you know, was aware of how we're going to, you know, try to handle it and help out, you know, Kathleen and the Board as this, you know, moves along over the next several weeks, months, etc. And
I
if anybody has, yeah, and if anybody has any questions, feel free.
I appreciate it. I do know that Kathleen and I got some clarification and Ginny yesterday with our MAHB lawyer, our Massachusetts Association of Health Boards lawyer, who stated that businesses can in fact refuse consumers from coming in if they don't have a face covering on. Again, we're hoping for that voluntary compliance. And just the other piece to sort of touch on briefly is that if there is a medical exemption, people who have medical conditions, they're not always visible, they're not required to have a doctor's note. So we're just asking people to be kind and patient as we kind of go through this process. If someone is aggrieved by the face covering because of medical issues, they don't need to wear one. So we just want to advise of that as well. Before I let you go, Chief, I'm going to go to Tim. Do you have any questions or comments for Chief?
No, just want to thank you for your support. Obviously, we recognize one of the things that we discussed in the last meeting was recognizing the additional responsibility this puts on the police department. Hope that our citizens and our neighbors will respect, you know, each other, but also respect the responsibility that's now being placed on the police department. So I just want to extend my appreciation for the work that's being done. But I don't have any questions.
All right, thank you. Jeff, any questions for Chief?
I agree 100% with Tim, and thanks so much for your support and helping us out. I realize it's a tough job you guys are doing. Appreciate everything you're doing for us.
Cool. Thank you so much, Chief. It's really very much appreciated. So, we'll go ahead right into the new business. And this is actually a discussion item of non-essential business complaints and non-essential business concerns. This has come from a variety of areas, and actually there has been some clarification just this week from Department of Labor Service, DPH and DLS as to what an essential business may, or excuse me, what a non-essential business may do. So there has been some changes. So I'm going to go ahead and let Kathleen update the board and the public on that, if you don't mind. Go ahead, Kathleen.
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, I have it.
Okay.
So I'll just speak for you, Kathleen. How's that?
Thank you.
Pretty cool. Awesome.
All right.
Two days ago, DPH did update the essential FAQ question on the Mass DPH COVID website. So for people that are operating non-essential businesses, it's a really good resource. But the challenge here is that there has been some essential services that have been reviewed by economic development, and there has been a little bit of a relaxation on certain specific essential services. And it's allowing businesses to open up a little bit with remote fulfillment. So we just want to be mindful and remind people that it does not mean that curbside carryout is allowed if you're not already allowed to do that type of activity. And really what it means is that you can fulfill online and phone order or shipping and contactless delivery type orders in a specific limited capacity. So then car dealerships, there's been a little bit of loosening up of car dealership requirements, and then flower shops can now do remote delivery as well, again with limited capabilities. So there is actually a graphic on, or some additional information on mass.gov COVID-19, and it goes into information as far as square footage, etc. And it does help people sort of slowly ramp up. So my advice would be for essential, non-essential businesses to contact the office and make sure that they are allowed to operate within these sort of relaxed capabilities. Some of the businesses that we've seen who formerly had a cease and desist through the DLS would be a business such as Petco. And Petco is essential under the guise of pet food, but they're not essential in the realm of grooming. And as of right now, May 6th, DLS and DPH still do not see dog grooming as an essential service. So if there is a veterinary provider, or they're only allowed to do the veterinary providing aspect and not have any grooming aspect. So it is a little bit of a new development. We did see some concerns with some retailers that were operating statewide begin to promote curbside carryout for non-essential items, and the state has actually come out today with a firm no. Curbside carryout, curbside takeaway are still not allowed. If you're in that business realm and you can do delivery, or you can ship, or do a contactless delivery, as long as you get permission from the health department, you're able to do so. And the other discussion item, sort of on non-essential business, was related to the golf course. And as explicitly defined within the governor's executive order, golf courses are not considered essential at this time. The only essential activity that may occur is the groundskeeping. So that's sort of been discussed. And actually, Kathleen and I and Chief had a conversation today with several members of the Franklin Country Club as well, sort of with that information in mind. And it was a really good dialogue. So Kathleen, do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I just want to reiterate the importance of the golf course staying closed until the governor opens. There is some, you know, rumor, rhetoric, you know, going around that other golf courses will be opening and defying the governor's order. But that won't be, we hear the police department, Board of Health, we will not turn a blind eye to that. So there will be, you know, there will be enforcement if anyone follows suit with other golf clubs that defy the governor's order.
So with that being said, Tim, do you have anything to add?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Okay. Jeff?
Nope, not at this time.
All right. Anybody that's in, remotely participating in the meeting, if you would like to offer a comment or a suggestion, if you can put your name in the chat box so that we can call on you as appropriate.
We'll offer a 3-minute comment mm-hmm. or question.
Again, I just want to thank the Franklin Country Club for meeting with us today and really allowing, you know, sort of the explanation. Like Chief said earlier, a lot of these public health motions and activities really need to, it's really about education. So I think that we had a really good dialogue, and I think it, you know, and I know it's challenging. We want everyone to go outside and be able to go back to normal, but I think our normal is going to be a little bit different for the time being. I think that's it. I don't. Have you seen anybody raise their hand or comment, Kathleen?
Yeah, there's one in the chat box.
Okay, I don't see it, so you're gonna have to. For whatever reason, I'm not getting it. Can you call on them?
Oh, actually, it was just a question. If we have a phone call, are they able to chat? I'm not sure if they can raise their hand or not. I don't know.
So someone's on the phone and not remote. So yeah, what's their phone number? Oh wait, I see Thomas Mercer raised his hand. All right, go Tom, go.
thank you, Bridget. I just wanted to comment on and thank both Bridget and Kathleen and Chief for meeting with the Country Club Board of Governors this morning. It was very informative and gave the entire board an opportunity to get their questions and concerns answered, and it was very much appreciated, and I'm sure you won't have any issues with us moving forward.
No, but
I don't
just
think it's an issue, so I just think, yeah,
not at all.
I think it's just that, it's the education component, and again, unless, you know, and sometimes it's hard to get all this information out. Sometimes we talk too much, or we don't talk enough. So again, we want to remind the community, you know, at large, that the health department is a resource. We're geared, and I don't work I'm a volunteer on the board, but the health department and the Board of Health are really here to be resources for the community and promote and protect public health, not to infringe on anyone's right or to make people have more gray hair than necessary based on this outbreak. So I would encourage you that if you have questions or comments, reach out to the health department, and we will, the health department has been, I think maybe I'm biased. They're very responsive and professional, and they will work with you to mitigate whatever needs and concerns you might have, and if it has to be thumbed up to the board, they'll push it to the board for an additional policy discussion. So I just want to remind people that we're it's not big and bad. I swear.
Yeah. No, and Tom, it was actually a really a great meeting, and I look forward to opening the golf course up and working with you.
We certainly feel the same way.
Thank you, Rhode Island, Tom. I sent you Rhode Island's guidance.
Yeah, you did. I did see that. And certainly nobody wants it open any faster than I do.
I know.
But thank you. We certainly understand it. Certainly appreciated the additional time that you were able to give to us this morning. Thanks, Tom.
Anytime, Tom.
Thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and table that. And Ariel, I'll go right ahead to the mouse. Ariel Doggett?
Okay. Yep, sorry.
Okay,
I was
good. No, you're good.
Myself.
I know. We get it. No worries.
I just wanted to know, this is kind of silly, but from all, you know, Facebook back and forth ridiculousness, are there any ramifications or consequences for those who may use the excuse of medical necessity without an actual need to not wear a mask?
So as of right now, and again, this is fairly new across the state, we're not allowed to ask questions like that because of HIPAA. So the health department, so that's something that we're hoping that people do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. But we all, just kind of like with like service dogs, there are certain questions that you can and can't ask, and we can't infringe on someone's, right to medical privacy. So no, not in that space. But again, if there was someone that was, consistently non-compliant, we would have the ability to do a $300 fine, but that's not the goal. So I don't have a great answer for you, but as we've been advised by MAHB, we can't ask those questions. There may be some additional guidance coming out now that it's statewide and we do have calls 3 times a week. We may see additional sort of regulatory fallout and it sort of change in the way we approach things. But as of right now, there's no enforcement action on that type of, basic negligence on someone, which is just unfortunate. But we have to assume and hope that people will do the right thing. Kathleen, do you have anything to add to that?
No, you answered it perfectly.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's already been ridiculous comments about non-compliance and specific non-compliance, which is unfortunate. So hopefully they stop.
And again, what the local business does have the ability, they can turn them away. If someone does say it's medical, that the business can still say, we're not comfortable. So they do have that ability, but we also don't want this to be an us versus them, and we don't want our local businesses to be faced with this type of, adversarial type of, activity. So as of right now, no, but again, as we have weekly calls, practically daily calls from other communities, we may see some type of additional, guidance or support.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's not the best answer.
No, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So, I don't think we have any other new business other than just the minutes. So, for...
excuse me, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, sorry, I'm falling. My internet connection has been horrible. I've been getting kicked on and off with a bad internet signal.
All right, so may I just ask your name?
Yeah, this is Jay Testa. I believe you guys got a letter from me on Monday.
Yes, we did. What can I do for you, sir?
Regarding the golf. So, a couple of things I just want to clarify. Obviously, the Board of Health that shut us down from playing golf back in March.
It was a state decision, but the Board of Health is the enforcement agency of that state decision.
Okay. And then, was the reason that you guys decided to enforce that because golf is a non-essential business?
Absolutely. Actually, it's twofold, sir. Golf is non-essential, and also it's a direct contradiction of the stay-at-home advisory, which is explicitly defined on the mass.gov website. So because of that stay-at-home advisory, that is why, and the non-essential designation, that is why the golf course is remaining closed until further notice from the governor.
Okay. And then those were the only reasons then we've been shut down?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then, I think we're all in agreement that golf, as a business, is non-essential. I don't think there's any complaint there from myself or any other members of the golf club. Speaking to my attorney, he thinks, we can comply with Governor Baker's order and still play golf. We believe, the Franklin Country Club membership can still play golf. while keeping, you know, the brick and mortar closed.
Right, and the challenge with that, sir, is again, that's a direct contravention with the stay-at-home advisory. So that's where we have, at the authority, at the local authority supersedes that, and there's actually case study and precedent on that in 2006 in Athol, even though you're private. So again, because of the stay-at-home advisory, which has those explicit definitions, you don't meet any of those needs, so that's why it's enforced right now.
But it was my understanding the stay-at-home was only an advisory, not an order.
It's actually considered an order. It's one of those strong advisories, like we had talked about last week at one of the Board of Health meetings.
All right, and then, you know, because I'm not looking to, you know, argue or anything, I just, and then my other question was, so, you know, again, there's a big difference between public and private and, you know, owning the land and conducting business and all that, and we could, you know, talk for hours about that, but my example best brought by, you know, several attorneys that we have spoken with, liken us to like a condo complex, and that condo complex has, you know, a tennis court, so each unit owner in that condo development has ownership interests in the common area, such as the tennis court, the basketball court, etc. So if two owners in that complex decide to go out and play tennis with each other, you know, would that be something the Board of Health would also look to shut down and prevent from happening?
That's not really an apples to oranges. That's kind of like an apples to oranges. But again, public health supersedes public and private matters, again, such as what we found in the case study in 2006. So I'm not sure if you remember when smoking was sort of banned in public areas, but private could still smoke. And that actually got waived, and now it was banned everywhere, public or private. So because the goal is that public health is to promote and protect all bodies of the public, not just those who may be part of a private club. So because of that case reference and that statute, it doesn't matter. Private or not, you're still held to the same standard because of this public health emergency.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's still open for interpretation because I was made aware of that earlier today, and my attorney actually looked into that as well and saw some differences, key differences in those cases. I don't want to speak on, you know, on a legal behalf because, again, I'm not an attorney, and I don't believe that I don't think that case would hold up against this case. I think it's two different things. Again, you know, we've had six or seven different legal opinions, all came back with one specific side. But the I guess the moral of the story is it'd be okay for people to go play tennis on that condo association property, and the Board of Health would have no problem with that.
I'm not going to speak to that. We haven't had that come up to us again. If it's two people and they're social distancing, and that's a different, again, that's not a relevant example. So I'm not going to weigh in on that. Kathleen, do you have anything to add to that?
I do not. I mean, it's very clear, and the governor has said, and the PGA also says golf courses are closed in Massachusetts. That's the order that we're going to enforce.
I mean, I think other Board of Health throughout the state, you know, disagree with that.
Actually, sir, we've seen that, and they've actually been brought forth yesterday on a DPH call for being non-compliant and creating manifest injustice. So they interpreted it wrong, and there's going to be some activity happening at the state level for those. So based on that, and again, as we spoke earlier, we understand it. We don't want these places to be closed either. You know, but it's the statute. It is what it is, and we have to enforce that.
All right. I mean, I guess we're going to agree to disagree. So, all right, thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, with that, we'll go on to the old business of the minutes. So, in the minutes of April 8th, we've all received via email. Is there any discussion based on the April 8th minutes?
No, the minutes were accurate.
Is there a motion to accept the April 8th minutes?
Motion to accept the April 8th minutes from
All right, so
the April 8th 2020 meeting.
All right, how about we do it this way? What about the April 27th minutes? All good?
All accurate.
Jeff?
All good.
All right, so is there a motion to accept both the April 8th and the April 27th minutes?
Motion to accept the April 8th and April 27th 2020 minutes.
Is there a second?
I second.
All right, so roll call vote. Tim Cochran, motion to accept the April 8th and the April 27th minutes?
Agreed.
Jeff?
Agreed.
I, Bridget Sweet, vote yes as well. So the minutes have been accepted. With no other new business for now, is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, roll call vote. Tim Cochran, motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Jeff Harris, motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Bridget Sweet says yes too, so three to nothing. All right, so we'll go ahead and adjourn for the evening. I appreciate everyone that did tune in to listen to our exciting board health meeting. And I look forward to talking to everyone soon. And I hope everyone stays healthy, stay safe, and wash your hands.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.